Hello, Animal Radio listeners. It's Robert Semro, your Pet World Insider, here with this week's Animal Radio List, 5 Things You Must Know About Pet Bowls. When you think about daily interactions with your pets, do you think about your pet's bowls? If you don't, you should. Pet bowls are very important to the overall health of your pet. There are all kinds of bowls on the market these days, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and they're made from a variety of materials. Here's 5 things you must know about pet bowls. Let's start with the material the bowl is made of. From plastic to ceramic to metal to paper, you can find bowls that are made out of a variety of materials these days. And why does that matter? Well, it matters because each of these has their advantages and disadvantages. Plastic and ceramic bowls can be less expensive and more decorative, but they can develop scratches, gouges, or chips where bacteria can grow and fester. Metal bowls and silicone bowls are more durable, but require care to be kept clean as well. Paper bowls are single-use and effective for germ and cleanliness concerns, but can be more expensive over time. I mentioned cleanliness and bacteria because it's so important. Studies have shown that E. coli, salmonella, and yeast or mold are common issues for pet bowls. Your pet's bowl may in fact be a cesspool of germs and unhealthy bacteria. It's imperative that you clean it after each meal. Add to that the fact that your pet's sense of smell is more than 1,000 times stronger than yours, and they may be avoiding their food dish not out of taste concerns, but health concerns. Let's talk about the size of the bowl. We have a pet obesity problem, and one of the simplest things you can do is select the proper sized bowl for your pet. If you select a large bowl, that doesn't mean it needs to be filled beyond the food recommendations. Pet parents often see a large bowl as empty and will add more food in. Get a bowl that's properly sized for your pet. And remember that your pet may have special bowl needs. Flat-faced pets can have a difficulty with eating out of a normal bowl because of their facial features. There are specially designed bowls for these breeds. If you have a flat-faced pet, this one change can make a world of difference for them. Next up, cat lovers, remember that your cat's whiskers are very sensitive, and many don't like it when their whiskers hit the sides of a bowl. So be aware of whisker fatigue and look for a bowl or feeding platform that avoids that issue. Finally, make them work for it. There are a wide variety of ways and tools to feed your pets. Switch it up and engage their minds and curiosity with a feeding puzzle or toy that requires them to work for it. They need the mental stimulation, and they'll benefit from having to work to get that reward of food or a treat. Share your pet bowl preferences and stories on our Animal Radio Facebook page.
This is Animal Radio, baby.
I had a sick dog this weekend. My own Nikki was down and out and vomiting and having diarrhea like mad.
Now, what do you do? Do you take Nikki to the vet, or do you... Well, no, I don't know. I would think sometimes you wouldn't want to treat your own animals, but...
You know, I turn into a doggy mama. Okay. You know, it's something that I turn into a mom. I forget that I'm a vet, but I did have to deal with it because I was going to be away the following day, and I wanted to make sure she was well while I was away. So I ended up doing blood work and some x-rays on her, and she was vomiting and having this horrible diarrhea and with really no apparent trigger. So ended up finding out that she had mild pancreatitis.
Oh, is that from eating like fatty food?
Well, if she were eating fatty food, she's on her regular dog food with really nothing out of the ordinary. The only thing I did give her that was different is, you know, you go to the bagel place and they got those little doggy bagels that you give them. Yeah. They're kind of like a dog dried up. Kind of biscuity style treat. Uh-huh. That was the only thing new and different that I gave her. And I had done blood work 24 hours in advance because I was going to be having a surgery on her soon. And her blood work was normal the day before. And then the next day she had pancreatitis. It was crazy.
Well, now what starts that?
Well, most commonly in dogs, it'll be after they get a really rich or fatty meal. So dogs that get into the garbage, or say we share food off the table, we, you know, share like a holiday feast with our dogs, that's a real common trigger. There are dogs where there's not always a real apparent dietary trigger, and it can happen for other reasons. And we see this a lot in schnauzers, per se. So for her, I don't know. The only thing was, you know, this little doggy bagel that I gave her that was different. But boy, she was one sick puppy. So she was on fluids. I had to give her anti-vomiting medicines. And she's a new dog after, you know, doing that kind of care. So the bottom line is, folks, even if you just had blood work really recently, sometimes things will be very apparent when your pet is sick. And that's the best time to have those kind of tests, when they're at the vet. And definitely fluid therapy when a dog's dehydrated and vomiting, diarrhea, goes a long way to make them feel better, just like it does with us if we can't hold anything down.
Wise advice. And of course, don't feed your animals any fatty stuff that could start this. What is pancreatitis? We never really talked about that.
It's an inflammation within the pancreas. It's an organ that produces digestive enzymes that help to break down our foods. But also there's the other part of the pancreas that is involved with insulin production and maintaining the glucose. So pancreatitis is when the dietary part of it kind of gets ticked off, and it releases these enzymes, causes abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, and loss of appetite.
It's always nice to have a veterinarian around when your animal gets sick.
I know. It's hard when they're your own, though.
Yes, it is. Do you do surgery on your own animal?
Never.
Never.
No.
Okay.
No, I gave up on that a long time ago. My husband, who's a veterinarian, criticized one of my incisions in the suture pattern that I place.
Oh.
So I said, okay, buddy, from here forward, you do every surgery.
there you go. Well, it seems like the show is getting shorter and shorter, doesn't it? I don't know. There's just so much in it. Thank you so much, Judy.
You're welcome.
If you happen to have a Yorkshire Terrier, a Shih Tzu, a Pug, or a Mini Schnauzer, be sure to check out Dr. Debbie's Kindle books, How to Be Your Dog's Best Friend. They're over at Amazon. And you can get links to everything you've heard on today's show over at animalradio.com. We'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.